And welcome back to episode 16 of the Weekly Tech Rant. I'm Jay.
And I'm Carl.
See, he's back. I said normal service would resume this week, and it has. Carl, welcome back. How are you doing?
Good. Only just. I'm still surrounded by boxes, but I've managed to cobble together my PC and find my mic, and here I am.
So this is a new Chez Carl. You know, this your new...
It is indeed.
Your new bat cave, isn't it, that you're in now?
my man Chez. Yeah, my own dedicated office now, which is a bit of a mess, but I'll get there. And nice to have a separate space.
Fantastic. And it's good to have you back after last week's solo effort, which it was a bit of a challenge, but hopefully we got through it okay. And,
good. I listened to it in the car on the way to the food shop. It sounded good to me.
You're just saying that because I pay you.
If only, Jay.
Awesome. Well, so this week we have some interesting news this week. So we've got a good mix of stories this week. There's a good range of technology items out in the news there. We'll talk a little bit about the Xbox launch as well, and talk about in the gaming this week around something around DOSBox, which I discovered earlier this week. Not something I'd seen before. Not DOSBox, that is. I've seen DOSBox before, but a new update to it. But let's kick off with the first story this week, which is around our friends in Huawei. So after last week's TikTok news and TikTok or ByteDance getting a little bit upset with the US government, there's another Chinese company getting a little bit upset with the government, and that is our friends at Huawei, who really, I think, have been on the pretty rough end of this Chinese trade war, haven't they? Or trade dispute, I should say.
Some would call it a vendetta.
A vendetta indeed. But with things changing in the White House, you know, and the orange-haired one, or orange, just orange one in general, isn't he, really?
Just orange in general, yeah. The Oompa Loompa.
Yes, that's a good way of looking at it. Being voted out of office, and it looks like a normal human being in some format is going to be taking over in January. At least we hope so. It seems that Huawei is now kind of like trying to get back in with some of the Western governments, aren't they? And kind of like, hey, by the way, you know, things aren't all that bad.
Exactly. Now that Trump isn't about, how about those 5G masks and antennas and kit?
Yeah, so they've been kind of like cozying up to the UK government and also the Canadian government as well. And they kind of be like, maybe we should have a rethink about it. As you say, maybe those 5G networks you want to roll out pretty quickly, we're pretty cheap, aren't we, compared to the other vendors that are out there.
Well, exactly. And from what I remember, just going back a bit, we kind of approved them all for all our networks apart from top security networks, didn't we?
But we
kind of capitulated to Trump and started just to ban them everywhere.
That is true. So you'll recall, you're right. There was, I think, I don't know if it was the year before, but the National Cybersecurity Center did some interviews, and they mentioned about how that they had done rigorous assessments of the Huawei kit. And as you say, they were approved, or at least, validated to be used in the 4G stacks. But obviously they weren't used for any sensitive communications or top secret communications, which would make sense.
Yep.
And the date, where they sat in the stack itself, they weren't intelligent enough to be able to do anything, so went the story. But yeah, you're right. It kind of did a U-turn, didn't it, with the whole Trump thing, and then, it was rip and replace.
It did. We'd be very kind of suspicious of Huawei anyway. The GCHQ, I think it is, have a lab that where every new Huawei device that's going to be in a infrastructure in the UK and every firmware revision has to go to be tested and pulled apart and make sure it's okay. So, we've kind of fully vetted them, but say I think this was political.
So, exactly, and I think it is political. I mean, understandably, there is concern because, I think unlike the Ericsson kit and some of the other US vendors are there, there's probably closer ties between those vendors and the Western governments than there would be of a Chinese manufacturer. But you're right, it's been in there a long time. And actually, as to rip it all out, as we've spoken about this before, A, is going to cost a lot of money, and B, the time period they've given is laughable, isn't it? Because if you were going to do anything nefarious, well, you've just got a huge window of time to do it. But I think it's Huawei, one of the Huawei leadership has, was cited in an interview to the Guardian in the UK, saying that this is going to have a huge economic impact on the UK because of the investment that, you know, needs to be done between the north and the south. And obviously that, you know, rolling out this 5G networks is basically going to cost you more money now, because, you know, you're going to have to spend more money on other vendors, and actually we could have helped you. So I think there is definitely a lot of political to-ing and fro-ing now, and they're kind of, I think, kind of ramping up the PR game, aren't they?
They are, especially with, is it the government deadline of, is it 2025 to have super fast broadband rolled out? And obviously there are large parts of the UK that aren't really serviced by your traditional networks. So the only way you're really going to get super fast broadband is using 5G.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, everybody and their, you know, everybody under the sun in terms of like the big telecom vendors are all looking at 5G. They're all looking at this, you know, the open radio networks as well that, you know, form part of the 5G networks. So, yeah, this is not going to go away. And I think, you know, Huawei have got a lot of money invested here. You know, they're having problems as well because they've just sold off the Honor brand, which is their kind of youth brand.
Yeah,
they just sold off the Honor brand because they... You know, obviously they were getting heavily impacted because of the US trade war, and they've kind of like spun that off to a consortium of distributors and resellers that were selling the Honor brand, is that they've come together and they bought that off them. So
interesting. I must have missed that one, but Honor was their cheaper brand, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the youth brand, if you will, I think.
Yeah.
So they're definitely feeling the pain here because, you know, not only the 5G network piece, we obviously say for the infrastructure stack, their mobile phone business is suffered heavily, I think, as well, hasn't it? Because of the lack of Android, you know, support.
Yeah. I mean, they ship this other, what the app's called, which is an alternative marketplace that basically goes and looks for the Google app on, not necessarily Google Play Store, and downloads the bits you need.
I saw that on a TV program the other day. They were demonstrating that. And it basically, like you say, it goes off and it finds APKs that have been made available elsewhere, which is kind of a bit, well, that's got to be dodgy.
A security nightmare, because no one's vetted these. You know, what's the search criteria? Is it just that it matches the name and it's publicly available on some hosted on some random site?
Yeah, I don't even want to go there. But yeah, let's see how that goes. But I suspect we're going to hear a lot more from Huawei as Trump leaves office and they kind of look to get back in and, you know, smooth over this personal vendetta that he's had with them, with the new administration. But, you know, we'll see. But then again, on the other side of, you know, the trade kind of things and manufacturing, we have Intel who... Well, you know, to put it bluntly, is Intel broken? You know, things are not good.
No, it's a tricky one. They still seem to be stuck on 14 nanometer. Although, you know, everyone says it's comparable to others 10 nanometers. But some of the AMDs are now shipping on 7 nanometers. Samsung and Apple are shipping 5 nanometers. Intel just seems to be stuck trying to do this transition to their... 10
nanometer. But didn't they release the 10 nanometer for their notebook chip line?
They did. Was that their high-end kind of limited run notebook ones? I can't remember what the name was. It's not
Ice Lake, Comet I think. Lake. Yeah, Comet Lake or Ice Lake. One of the yes, I think it's yeah, you're right. It's but so that's only a high-end, like you say, you know, they did so they can do 10 nanometer then. It's just that they can't do it mainstream.
I don't think they just can't scale, can they, with it? It's obviously maybe they're not getting the binning they need on it. You know, a lot of them are not dodgy chips. What's the word for it? Just not fully complete validated chips. So they can't use them.
No. So with this then, so with Rocket Lake, which is the incoming, you know, next big Intel release, it's still going to be 14 nanometer.
It is. But
as I understand it, then they are backporting the 10 nanometer to
kind of improvements to their IPC and their tech and stuff, but yeah, backporting it to 14 nanometer.
But surely, you know, in the world of chips, you don't go big, you go small.
Yeah.
So that can't be efficient.
No, the current ones out there aren't efficient, are they? If you look at the top of the range, is the i9s now, they are putting out a lot of heat. And I think it's only going to get worse for these what are they called again? Rocket Lake ones.
Rocket Lake, yeah.
Yeah, if they're taking those improvements from the 10th generation, the 10 nanometer ones, and trying to put it back into 14 nanometers, it just wasn't really designed for that. It's got to be massive power usage.
Well, this is it. And you know, reading a PC Gamer article that was published this week, you know, they've taken quite a dim view on that. You know, the editorial piece in there is really saying that from where they're sat, Intel's in a lot of trouble in looking at how they can compete. And if they are backporting, you know, as you say, the 10 nanometer into 14 nanometer and basically saying that they're flexible, and then like you said, you know, those i9 chips, current i9 chips run super hot. They're not, you know, when you look at the Ryzens, they're not really running ahead massively, are they now?
No.
And the Intel, I think in a leaked product slide, the 10 nanometer Alder Lake CPU is now really not looking towards, well, was slated for next year, but is now looking towards the end of next year.
21, I doubt they're going to hit that either.
No, so that means then that they won't get that 7 nanometer is behind schedule as well. So that's at least to the end of 2022. So then realistically, as PC Gamer said, you're looking at 2023 to see them in the market. Well,
these 10 nanometers were meant to be released, 2016, weren't they? So we're already 4 and a bit years late than that one.
Yeah, but let's take a break for a second and just backstep a moment. Where are AMD at the moment? 7, aren't they? 7, aren't they?
Yeah.
So AMD are on 7.
For a while. 7, the Ryzen 3000 series were 7.
Yeah, so AMD are on 7. They are throwing, you know, more cores than you can do things with into their CPU.
It's Rocket Lake. They're going to drop the number of cores as well, which I presume is for firmware issues. So they're going to allegedly going back to 8 cores rather than the 10 cores you currently get in the i9-10900.
So basically then you're nobbling the horse before it's even started the race.
Yeah, because I mean, there's going to be some IPC improvements, but is that going to be enough to make up for the 2 cores? Plus, it's also meant to be faster. So 2 and a bit cores, you know, I just don't know.
But then we've got the elephant in the room, haven't we, now, which is the M1 chips from Apple.
We have, yeah. Not that we'll 5 get PC.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Apple with 5 nanometer, okay, granted it is a different instruction set, it's ARM, but they're at 5 nanometer. They've now gone to market. You know, they've got 3 product lines on these chips. The initial benchmarks, as I sort of, you know, touched on last week, and the ones that have come out subsequently are blowing away in single cores, you know, pretty much any other CPU on the market right now, including some of the higher end Xeons, not the server chips, but the more desktop ones.
Yeah.
And you've got Intel here kind of like basically taking one step forward and 10 steps back.
Yeah, I just don't know what's going on there. I mean, is it time that they just say, stop investing these billions in their own fabs and just farm this out to someone like TSMC?
They make the Apple chips, don't they? And I think a lot of others.
And they make a lot of the AMD ones as well. I mean, they've got it nailed. Why not just say, enough's enough. Let's spend that money on R&D, ship it out, you know, to somebody else to fab for us.
But then it's no longer Intel, is it? In the sense of Intel that is a unified chipset designer manufacturer.
This is true, but they're not doing very well.
No, you're right. And
there has to be a point, surely, where they go, you know, actually, guys, we can't nail this. It's been 5 years already, and we still can't nail it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we spoke about this a couple of podcasts back around, you know, the Intel woes, and, you know, actually, at the moment, they've got the server market sewn up, really, haven't they? Because, you know, pretty much every server, mainstream server, runs on Intel. But, you know, as we move forward into the future, and if, you know, if the Apple M1 chips are a good example of this, you know, let's imagine a couple of valuations down the line when they get to sort of server capabilities. You know, imagine a server full of those. I mean, they would take up half the space. You'd have, you know, the memory, the speed. You know, there's going to be some serious rethinks going on, I think, in terms of compute. Especially in the data center.
Yeah, I'm not sure Apple are interested in server, though.
Well, no, I think, okay, what I was getting at was that if Apple can prove that ARM is a viable for server, what's to stop another chipset manufacturer
I mean, there are some out there apparently doing quite well, ARM ones, you know, where you get like 1,000 cores in a box, that kind of stuff. They are doing some serious money. And they're meant to be very, very good, but obviously you need the software there as well.
Well, as you brought that up, we've missed the obvious. Let's just think what NVIDIA can do now.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously,
because they own ARM, don't forget. So, and they're going to be pushing heavily on this. So, yeah, I was really sad to read that about Intel, and I don't mean that in a condescending way, because I think we all have a soft spot for Intel. You're growing up; it was the chips we learned to understand, and
jingle and Intel inside.
Yeah, exactly. Then the Blue Man Group, you know, like, you know. So yeah, I really hope they can work this out, but I think you probably are closer to the mark that they could be seriously considering whether or not they outsource the fabrication and, you know, focus on being like ARM, I guess, and designing the chips.
AMD does. It's basically an ARM, isn't it? It's an IP house. It doesn't make any of its own chips anymore. It doesn't make any of its own graphics cards. It does the design. Yes, you know, ships them out to someone else to build and then sells them on to the third parties who make OEM parts.
Yeah, well, I'd be interested. Let's see when these chips come out. But yeah, I think, you know, early indications are that then they are not going to be as competitive as the equivalents. You know, they're certainly going to be good because, you know, it's Intel and they're going to want it to perform. But I think at what cost is that performance going to come? And by the sound of it, it's going to be less cores and it's going to be more heat.
I suppose the big question is here, are you going to need a new motherboard, a new socket, or is this going to be dropped in?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
In the thing, because if it's a new socket, is anyone actually going to go to that for basically no improvement?
Well, this is it, isn't it? I'm not sure whether or not it is a new. We can solve this now. Let's pull up Google. Rocket Lake is expected to use LGA 1200.
I can't remember what we're on now. So I haven't bought Intel in a while. What are we on now?
So LGA 1200 is the replacement. Okay, so LGA 2. Okay, so this is interesting. LGA 1200 was released in Q2 of this year, and it's a replacement for LGA 1151.
Yeah.
So it is a new socket. It's designed for Comet Lake, so it will support the new ones. So yeah, the board's already in the market then, effectively, so people will be there. But you're right, you know, how many people now are going to really want to upgrade when, you know, you could probably get for bang for buck, theoretically, the Ryzen chips, better performance, and especially, you know, the way AMD have been touting the combination of the big Navi and the memory addressing, yep, in the Ryzen chips. So yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, you know, if it is slightly better, AMD will just bring out a quicker chip. They're already getting, you know, teed up for that.
Oh yeah, you're right. The fight, the war of attrition has changed, and I think, you know, AMD are gaining ground very quickly. And I think they're gaining market share back as well. I think the perception of AMD chips has really changed in the last couple of years since the Ryzen release.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, what else we got? Okay, well, it wouldn't be the tech rant if we didn't talk about Apple, would it?
Surely.
No. So a couple of things that came up this week was around the iOS 14.3 beta. So, you know, iOS 14.3 is pretty, you know, is already in a beta release. I'm running it on my devices already. And, you know, which is quite surprising because the .3 releases, you know, in times gone past, typically didn't show up until like the new year. So this has moved really quickly. But the thing about this 14.3 release isn't that it's in beta, isn't that it's here. It's that somebody has spotted that in 14.3 beta that there is a references to AirTags, which did not show up, of course, at any of the events that we saw before.
No.
So somebody has noticed that there's a hidden section in the Find My app. I hate the name of that app. Find My.
Yeah. You're missing a word.
Yeah, it's like Find My what? With the code name Hawkeye, which apparently isn't only just for AirTags, but it's also for third-party tracking accessories such as Tile, which Apple talked about at the WWDC event earlier this year. So my kind of like point here is, are we going to see a stealth release here of AirTags in the sense, rather than a big bang, you know, event, are they just going to pop up, you know, like as a press release?
Get an email saying now available kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember who it was, somebody on Twitter, there was a rumor leaked that there's going to be a special surprise for Christmas from Apple. So that could be the AirTags.
Yeah, because the headphones are kind of, you know, I think it was John Prosser we said, didn't it? Had mentioned that the headphones there were delayed to next year because of the strange, too tight headband. But AirTags, yeah, they've been knocking around for a while. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that if they never came out, because we know that, you know, Apple have got a history of just canning products, you know, Paramount. But I think these are big enough in the sense of a release that they're going to want them to come out. They are quite a good idea based on, you know, the way Tile obviously works today. And if they're going to use the old ultra wideband chip, you know, we talked about how, you know, there was explanations of how they could use that to really pinpoint where the device was in your room or your house or wherever with AR, which would be pretty cool.
Exactly. If Apple priced this right, this could be easy stocking filler kind of territory, isn't it? People just buy it for Christmas, that, you know, without even thinking.
Exactly. Look at the price of the HomePod, you know, mini, $99, pounds, pesos, you know.
Yeah.
That was a shock, you know.
I wasn't expecting it that cheap. I thought at least 149 there.
Yeah, I know I joked with you, didn't I? I said, I'll come out at night, and you were like, don't be silly. Yeah, you were like, don't be daft, you know. But they
were. What we're talking about.
Yeah, and they've sold out. You know, they are selling like hotcakes because of the features, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I could, you know, Christmas release, you know, I don't think necessarily is out of the window, especially if they're showing up. You know, if people are spotting this now in, you know, in the early parts of these betas, 14.3 beta means, you know, beta now. I think mine was on Dev release 2, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, I think 2 was out
yesterday,
wasn't it?
So, you know, it's not unfeasible that we could see a 14.3 release by Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way they're moving at the speed of iOS 14, you know, I'm shocked at the pace of delivery at the minute. It's very quick. You could argue there's a lot of things to fix, but then you could also argue there's a lot of stuff to put in, you know. But, you know, saying that, with 14.3... there's also another suggestion that Apple are working on allowing third-party applications to be prompted to users when they set up their new iOS device, which, like, I'm blown away.
What, like a kind of, have you considered this other software?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like, I guess, well, this has got to be all down to antitrust, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Surely.
You know, we only had to look back. Do you remember, is it Windows 7 with the old browser choice menu in Windows?
Yes. Yeah, the one you couldn't get rid of, it kept popping up and wouldn't accept your first option. That one.
Yeah, you know, that's the one. Yeah, I think it was SP3 that came out, wasn't it, with that? So, yeah, there's kind of, you know, a suggestion that basically that Apple could, you know, nobody's seen this. It's just a suggestion. But there are apparently evidence in the code that there is a new system setup process that will show suggestions for App Store apps before you start using the device. Apparently, it's not intended to be for all users, according to an article in 9to5 Mac. But it says that it's only enabled for some countries based on local laws in compliance with regional legal requirements. So basically, basically that's Europe, then, is it? You know, like
possibly California.
Yeah, basically it's Europe. So apparently now, though, there's quite a bit of a queue behind Apple in terms of antitrust. So Japan has joined the queue, which already includes the US, UK, France, Germany, Australia, and South Korea. Oh dear! Wow.
So Apple got enough money; they just need to buy a small country and move there.
Yeah, and set up their own laws.
Exactly.
You could do it. But yeah. So I guess the other thing, I mean, we talked about the M1 chip, you know, last week, and you know, I know you've been following it as well. And these benchmarks, I mean, these are insane. I mean, I know benchmarks don't necessarily equate to real world usage.
No, they don't.
But, you know, it's a good indication of performance. You agree?
Of course. Yeah, definitely. It gives an indication.
So at the Apple event, they talked a lot about games, which really, really, really bugged me because to me, this wasn't
very good games.
No, they weren't. And no offense to those developers, but they're not the kind of games I'd want to play. But what was interesting, though, is that 8-core GPU that's on that M1 chip is clearly quite powerful, though Apple really haven't talked about it or said much in the terms of what's under the covers in it. But some new benchmarks have just come out around using the GFX benchmarking tool that basically shows that it is, well, pretty, well, I don't want to say like slightly faster, noticeably quicker than both a GeForce GTX 1050 Ti and a Radeon RX 560. Now, I know both of those cards are not current bang for buck cards, but if you take Radeon, if you take that Radeon as an example, that Radeon card is the one that's in the MacBook 15 inches.
Okay, right, yep.
So onboard gaming or onboard graphics processing is kind of that standard. I think it's been replaced by the 580, I think, in the last iteration, but they are up cards, but you know, and I joke, you know, 1080, who's running a 1050? You know, serious gamers are not running a 1050.
Two generations old, and that was one up from the bottom, wasn't it? So, you know, it's like a £60 card.
Yeah, but it, you know, it says, you know, what they're showing the results basically saying that, you know, it is noticeably quicker than both the cards. I mean, I think that, yeah, you like I said, two generations old. So what's that? Three years, isn't it? At least, you know.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. But those are both dedicated GPU units that run at least 75 watts of power. You know, this is an 8-core GPU built into an already 16 core, isn't it? In the M1, I can't remember now. I've said
eight CPU cores and GPU cores. Yeah,
that's it. So I knew it was 16 there somewhere. You know, but that's already into a system on a chip that's probably far smaller than the dedicated GPUs and without the thermal cooling either, you know, that's needed on both of those cards. I mean, this is, you know, it is starting to show that there's really quite something going on here. And I think it was one of the interviews from the execs the other week after the Apple event that was basically, he was saying that this chip has outperformed all of their expectations. You know, what they were planning to release versus the reality is beyond that. And do you know what? I think it clearly is. And I'm seeing stuff like, you know, at work, several people have already bought their devices and had them delivered. It's showing up. I saw in the work Slack today that somebody was talking about they've already had it delivered. And one of the guys has already posted on Twitter some benchmarks that he's run, you know, versus, you know, he had three or four laptops in his house, a Dell XPS, I think one was a Lenovo, the other was a 13-inch MacBook. They're all 13-inch, you know, chassis, yeah? And he's got the Pro, I think it may have been the Pro that he had. And it was a MacBook Pro. He had the 13-inch M1 Pro book, MacBook Pro.
Okay.
And basically, it was blowing away, like the Dell XPS 13, you know? Wow. It was on single cores on Geekbench 15. So these are all three. So he had the X13 Ryzen 5, the Dell XPS 13 i5, a mid-2018 i5 MacBook Pro, and then the M1 MacBook Pro. Okay. And in Geekbench, single core, 1,746 for the M1, 821 for the 2018 MacBook, 1031 for the Dell, and 1106 for the Ryzen.
Okay.
And just remember, 1700 for the M1.
Yeah, that's quite a difference.
You know, it's almost, well, it's twice as fast and a bit more than the 2018 MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And then, good considerably, almost half again fast, isn't it, of the, on the other ones as well. He did state that, you know, that some of that was done running the benchmarks, and he hasn't yet run some of the Intel emulation. But, you know, when you start to see professionals pick these devices up and say these are quick, I think, you know, it's starting to take notice. But I as I said to you, Carl, when we spoke earlier before the recording, for me, until that Mac Mini can support more than two external screens, it ain't going to be sat on my desk.
No go.
No go. So the last thing that around Apple, I hear you picked up quite a lot of Apple kit the weekend off the motorway.
I did. I just found it lying on the side of the road. So it's in the boot.
Well, about £6 million worth?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a big boot. It's a Citroen Picasso. It's huge.
TARDIS-like, you know. Oh, well, the only reason so on the 10th of November, where were you, Carl? Where were you?
I actually couldn't tell you. I don't think I have an alibi. The 10th? No idea, Joe.
Oh, so you weren't pulling over a truck carrying nearly £5 million worth of iPhones, iPads, AirPods, and other Apple equipment then?
No, not me, Governor.
No, so somebody was though. Somebody targeted a truck carrying these goods up the M1 motorway in the UK, managed to pull the truck over, took it to a service station where they swapped the tractor units off the truck and drove it away, and left the guard and the driver and the guard behind. And apparently they found the empty unit, I think, in the neighbouring county of Leicestershire.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently nobody knows what's going on. You know, these are all small, pretty much small high value items, aren't they? You know, iPads and iPhones.
Yeah, that's a lot of kit.
That is a lot of kit, and they are going to disappear. But so that has got
a deal. Get on eBay.
Yeah, no wonder I can't get an iPhone 12.
But no, that's just because of lockdown, Joe.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, right? That had to be an inside man or woman.
It's got to be. I mean, where did you know what truck it was in? How did you know where it was going to be at what time? That has to be somebody from the Disty or something like that, doesn't it?
I was going to say that is not a random. Oh, you know what? Do you know what? Let's go out tonight. Let's steal a truck. You never know what we might get in it. You know,
jackpot, lads.
Yeah, you know. Well, we were expecting 44 tons of nappies. Oh no! Well, look, we got apples.
But, yeah, that's an inside job for sure.
It's got to be, isn't it? But oh man, I they will not be seeing those items again. But I'm guessing serial numbers. You know, again, Apple. If it's anything to iOS devices, those serial numbers are going to be bricked the minute they go live, aren't they?
Well, even the new M1 kit, the MacBooks, they've all got activation lock now, haven't they? So they'll be able to those as well.
Yeah. Well, so I think whoever stole them perhaps A isn't smart enough to know that, or they have got other plans for them.
Oh, exactly. So, or this is, don't buy anything off eBay. Chances are it won't work.
No, that iPhone 12 that you saw looking for a good deal.
Right, it's on eBay. Yeah, don't buy it.
No. So then, the last thing I just want to say was, we talked about Big Navi the week before last, didn't we? The new release there around the new chips, and we also, we both recently picked up Quadro cards, obviously not the latest ones. But AMD have just dropped their new, I want to call it, well, it's not a workstation card, is it? General, GPU.
Yeah.
Processing GPU.
High performance GPU.
Yeah. So they've just released the M, I want to call it an MI100. I think that's what, ML100? I think it's MI, isn't it?
An I or an L? I can't tell from their font. I think it's an I, MI100.
Yeah. So this is massive. And I don't just mean it's a big card. It's got 120 compute units, which the Big Navi GPU on the RX 6900 comes with 80 of these compute units. Now, okay, you're not going to be playing, Call of Duty with this thing, are you? You're going to be rendering and you're going to be doing, high performance workloads on it.
Yep.
But I mean, considering how impressive those Big Navi GPUs are, this is one hell of a bit of kit.
32 gig of RAM as well. And it's HBM2 RAM. So very, very quick.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, how would that fit in one of my servers? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, lovely. You might as well leave the lid off.
I might need to also, rip out something else to get that in there. But
I haven't seen a price for this yet, but I'm guessing it's not going to be cheap.
Is this like when you go into high-end jewelers and basically it's like, if you've got to ask the price, you can't afford it?
I think that's pretty much it.
I just thought it caught my eye though because obviously we've been talking about obviously the workstation GPUs, and we're going, and I was like, oh, this looks impressive, and then I was like, yeah, this is way out of my league.
Maybe in 5 or 6 years we'll pick one up on eBay, Joe.
Yeah, maybe so. When we're like, yeah, I could do that, but I've got nowhere to put it now because I've moved all of my workloads to the cloud.
Pretty much it.
Okay. So come on then, let's change that. So Carl, how's your Xbox?
Yeah, it's still in a box. I can
Oh.
tell you where that box is, but it hasn't left the box.
Well, that's good because I thought you were going to say then I can't tell you where the box is, which would have
No,
been
I
quite
have
worrying.
found it. I kept it in guard. I've carried it on personally to the new house, but yeah, I just haven't had the time yet to actually plug it in and have a play on it. So I'm really hoping I can this weekend.
But you've had a look at it though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've taken it out of the box. Me and my son, we did an unboxing together because he's very interested in it. So yeah, it does look good. It's obviously a bit more chunky than the Xbox One X I've got. But it's a bit smaller than the original Xbox One I've got, so it does look like a nice bit of kit, well made.
It is. I agree with you on that. It is a large unit, but compared to a PlayStation 5, it's positively svelte.
It's tiny, yeah.
But yeah, I think it looks good. Now, I mean, I've got mine stood up behind the TV on a unit, but I've
Okay.
seen pictures of people with it on its side as well. It seems to look just as kind of nice
It does, but it's got the stand you can't take off. So if you put it on its side, you've got a stand sticking out the side.
Yeah, that is a little bit odd,
So
but I
mine's
guess.
going to be standing up.
Yeah, well, I say mine is, and it does work nicely. And I haven't heard the fans come on during gaming. Like sometimes you
Have
used
you
to get on the
not?
PS4, I'd be like,
Have
there's
the
a little bit of
PS4.
fan noise. But okay, well, hopefully you'll be able to get yours and plug it in. But yeah, okay, I've got to admit, I've had a bit more play on mine, and as I've said before, I'm new to Xbox. This is my first foray into the Xbox gaming, and I haven't been disappointed so far. Things are really, really impressive, and I won't go over again with what I talked about the other week about Game Pass and that. But what I was going to say was about Game Pass, funnily enough, was EA Play, the piece about that. And this
Yeah.
week, I've been playing some of the games with the cloud saves between the PC and the Xbox, and that just is not getting old. That is just super quick
Brilliant,
and
isn't it?
easy. And the instant play, or instant on, if you will, for games as well, that
Yeah,
is a ge
I'm
game
desperate to try
changer.
that one because yeah, the Xbox One X is a bit slow. The original Xbox has only had, I think, 5400 RPM hard drives in them. So yeah, games take a while to load sometimes.
Yeah, but this new storage system that they've got for the Xbox, which of course is coming to Windows 10 next year, I think, is it the new direct storage system?
Direct storage, yes.
Yeah, it's super quick. I mean, the performance is unbelievable. I mean, there are two modes to the instant on, which, from what I understand, on the old Xbox, there's only one, isn't there? It's either normal or you have that, like you say, that instant on capability.
Yeah, for loading the console instant on or cold boot, kind of, yes, one or the other. But
So
obviously, if you
the
do cold boot one, you don't get the automatic updates to the OS and stuff.
No, so the two the Xbox Series X has got the instant on or the energy saving mode, and I tried both, and the energy saving mode, like I say, is cold boot, if you will, yeah. But it's super that the cold boot for an Xbox Series X is super quick as well, and
Okay.
from what I've read from some people, of like saying that that's almost as quick as the Xbox one, the one. Firing up on it, an instant on,
Oh, wow.
because yeah, those SSDs they've got in there are just the I can't explain it. Compared to like how your PC SSDs are and that kind of thing, that's quick, but just to be able to turn it on and fire up a game. An example of that is with the EA Play this week, obviously came to Xbox Game Pass, which they kind of snuck in, and I downloaded and installed Fallen Order, which
Oh, that's a Star Wars game, yeah.
Which I really wanted when it came out on PC last year. I was like, yeah, I really want that, but I couldn't justify it. I wasn't too sure in the long run whether or not actually I'd get much value out of it after thinking about it. But I saw it on Game Pass. I was like, oh, I didn't know EA was available yet. Hit install at lunchtime, came back, when I finished work in the evening, and it was obviously ready to play. Fired it up. My TV only supports 4K 60 hertz, not the 120, but that's not a problem. It looks gorgeous. And it is as smooth as silk playing. There's no lag, there's no artifacts or any of that kind of sometimes, where the rendering isn't as quick because of the
Yep.
TV. and it just looks fantastic. And the HDR lighting effects, you know, really good. But what makes it better, as you say, is the instant on. You know, I finish playing, you know, I just basically on the Xbox, I open up the menu and maybe I look back to the home to check it. I put the Xbox controller down, change the channel on my TV, you know, it goes to sleep. I pick it back up and it's like ready to go like that. It is phenomenal. And to me, that just means, you know, that that whole piece of, you know, oh, I want a placement, but oh, I've just got to wait for it to load. Or, yeah. Or hang on, where did I leave the disc, you know?
This what are they doing?
You know, those funny coaster things that I put my coffee on. So I'm continued to be impressed by the Xbox. I'm really looking forward to perhaps playing some of the newer, you know, AAA titles coming out. I'm kind of intrigued a bit by Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That looks good. Call of Duty, I will not be going down that road on a console. First person shooter is PC for me. You know, PC.
You can plug a keyboard and mouse into an Xbox.
You're true, but I'm not sat cross-legged in front of my sofa and my TV doing that.
Oh, you're not, Joe.
You know, the 4K monitor I have in my office can do that. But great experience so far, and I'm looking forward to you getting yours up and running so we can do some multiplayer when you're ready to go.
Definitely.
Cool. So the other thing I saw this week, and I kind of dropped into the show notes, and you were like, DOSBox? And I was like, yes, DOSBox. You not remember DOSBox?
Long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. You were like, So DOSBox, if anybody's never seen DOSBox before or was wondering what I'm saying, because I can't pronounce it, obviously, clearly. DOSBox, one word, is a emulator software that was released as, and you could, you know, emulate DOS, MS-DOS,
yep,
to run old games. And I ran it. I've been running it. It's been around for quite a few years. Of course, I think it must be... Oh, how long has it been around? 10 plus years, isn't it? I think, you know.
Oh, easily, yeah.
And it's a great way to play, you know, titles that I had for years. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's got to be at least 10 years. So it's maybe longer. I think probably like maybe early 2000s. But anyway, it's I've got some older games that I've had, you know, from years gone by, you know, that you wanted to install. And the hassle of, you know, these days, or even 10 plus years ago, we're firing up a DOS machine just was a pain, wasn't it? So this allows you to emulate that, those games. Now, I haven't used it recently, but there's a new version called DOSBox Pure. I couldn't get that out, which is a new version of the emulator, which has got to be designed to be compatible with RetroArch,
awesome,
which is another emulator. It's a front end, isn't it, RetroArch?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So... RetroArch, I think, yeah, I think I've, yeah, it was, I'm sure I saw it once before. There was like a Pi front end for it, wasn't it? I think.
Well, it could have been, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I've seen it before. But yeah, so RetroArch has been used before to play ROMs, isn't it, and stuff, and,
yep,
you know, kind of all kind of stuff. But now we'll include this DOSBox support, which actually is really cool, because if you're into kind of emulation, and, you know, maybe you run RetroArch, or maybe you run something like, RetroPie, to play those older SNES games or Mega Drive games, you know, and actually being able to play some of those older DOS games is probably quite, you know, you want to add that in as well. So this is quite interesting.
When I did my move, I came across some old games. I came across a CD copies of, is it Privateer 2, The Darkening, Commander, and Descent.
Descent. Oh, Elder.
Yeah, so I'm watching it get that going. Once that's out, I've got one of those little emulator consoles, looks a bit like a Switch, you know, and that runs RetroArch. So I wonder if I can get them running on that.
Well, this is it. There's a whole, like, if you're into those kind of things, you know, not everybody is, but, you know, some of us of a certain age do like playing some of the retro games, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, to put it bluntly, nostalgia is a bit of a bitch at times, because you know what it's like? You fire it up and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we used to play this. You know,
not just play it, spend hours and hours and hours playing it.
I did that a few weeks back with the kids. I fired up RetroPie and,
yep,
was playing some Mega Drive games of them and some of the SNES games on there. And I had that realization of like, this is awful. But then I was like,
as you get older, you become a snob. The graphics, you just do. My kids play that little portable console thing and absolutely love it. They're experiencing, you know, Super Mario World and Sonic the Hedgehog and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, absolutely love it.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, which you're right. I think we're looking back at it from a time of like, you know, that's all we used to play. And then we know what is available now. You know, for them, you're right. It's their first experience of it. And for them, it's new and it's different and it's totally unlike anything that's available today, isn't it? You know?
It is. I mean, yeah, my kids play my Xbox, so but they don't really care about the graphics. Yeah, you know, my son, my eldest one, he's got lost into the Zelda game. Is it Link's Awakening, the original one for the Super Nintendo he's been playing?
Yep.
Yeah, and we've just lost him for hours and days. He's, you know, going around dungeons trying to save the princess.
Well, and you know what? That's exactly the same. So both of my kids have got Nintendo 2DSs. Yep. You know, the kind of single block one that was like the 3DS, but
yeah,
and that was kind of their first foray into video game. They played on the PlayStation a little bit before, but this, you know, the first thing, and they love it. And they're playing, you know, those are what, from 2013. You know, yep. My daughter was born in 2013, so it's as old as she is. Yeah, but she, you know, she'll sit and play for hours on Animal Crossing New Leaf, you know, which is a 7-year-old game. You know, compared to like New Horizons, it's quite dated. She loves playing that. She plays Super Mario on there, you know, with her brother, and they play Mario Kart, and they've just I've worked it out for them to be able to play Animal Crossing, where they can visit each other's islands on there, and they will sit for, like I say, a bit like your son there with Link's Awakening, for hours just playing it. Yeah, I look at it and you look at it and you're like, oh my God, that's so dated, you know, and that's like so old.
I was just looking up the date of when the original Zelda was released. It was like 1993. Oh. That's 16 years before my son was born.
Well, exactly. But, you know, they see it from a fresh view. You know, they're not jaded like we are. And like you say, we've grown up with these things and we're striving for the next iteration and the next best thing that's coming out, you know, the graphics cards that we want to perform, the Xboxes are, you know, 4K, 120 hertz, you know, ray tracing, you know. Actually, they just want to play a game. They just want to play a game, you know. And I think, you know, sometimes you're right, we forget that. And like you say, the nostalgia thing, I was a bit flippant with that remark, but I think it's true. You know, I used to sit on my Mega Drive and play, you know, Desert Strike, you know, for more hours than I could imagine. Yeah, I tried playing it the other week, and after 20 minutes, I was so frustrated with the controller, you know?
Where's the analog? Where's the analog sticks?
But, you know, like you say, you know, time gone past, yeah, we would have happily done that ourselves. So
that was my guess.
Exactly.
It's just about having fun, isn't it? And I think we kind of lose that as we get a bit older sometimes.
You're right. I think we're too consumed by the content, the effects and the what goes into it than actually playing the game for what it is. And, you know, interestingly, there was a recent study done, you may have seen it, that was published, I think it was last week, that they looked at the benefits of playing games. Okay. And Animal Crossing New Horizon was one of them. And I think the other game was Plants vs. Zombies or something like that. And they chose those games to showcase, you know, the thing, and they basically showed the positive benefits from it for people who played it, things like reduced stress, reduced heart rate, you know, other benefits that were in a scientific paper. And actually, you know what, I think it does. I think that disconnects sometimes from the real world. I'm not talking about playing Call of Duty and killing everybody and shooting the world up.
No, it's beneficial sometimes.
Well, yeah, stress relieving and of course age appropriate. Yeah. But you know, Animal Crossing, you know, just when I look at my kids, you know, my daughter loves it. The fact that she's got her own little house, she's making stuff she wants. She talks to people. She's getting a sense of the value of money to a degree because obviously she has to make these bells.
You're an economy, haven't you?
Yeah. She has to make these bells and then she used to pay off her home loan and buy new stuff. You know, you know what? But they love it and they see the fun in it. Whereas like, I think, yeah, as you say, we kind of have lost that a little bit, but there you go. I'll be seeing you then, Carl, on Forza Horizon the other week when we'll break the speed limit and drive cars recklessly through woodland just to win a race. Yeah.
Forza, you say? Or are we still talking about real life?
Oh yeah, sorry. It's not Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, that's what I was doing the other night. Was it the 10th?
you want to be careful on your alibi there. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up for tonight. So, thank you, everybody. I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good one, everyone.